This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, we're back. Okay, good. More of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis, and you're welcome to give us a call and weigh in on anything you'd like to weigh in on this morning about fishing or hunting or the great outdoors, wildlife, you name it. I did a little looking on the online about the about eels, and they have a very interesting lifestyle. But there are a number of states, including New Jersey, that have records, and we don't. Now, the New Jersey, this was in 2005, a new freshwater state record that was caught from Round Valley Reservoir. A fellow by the name of David Jane was 6 pounds, 13 ounces, weighed 11 ounces more than the previous record, but it was 41 3/4 inches, and that was a record. That was a record, and that's a pretty good size eel. Females can reach up to like 40 inches. Males seldom exceed 24. So a 36-inch fish is a really, really good eel. My question is, why don't we have a record on the American eel here in Maryland? Eels have a very interesting life cycle. And, well, it's kind of a long deal, but and we'd really like to, we would really like to continue with our callers if I had a little more time. I'll be more than glad to share that. But, hey, there is – I'm wondering where my buddy Charles has been. Charles, how you doing, man?
I want to wish you a very happy birthday. And as Tom Mars says, have a good day and a better tomorrow.
Well, thank you. Charles, I appreciate that. How you been? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, I had an exhilarating experience last week. I have a lot of things to donate to the Baltimore Zoo. And I've given them an X-ray machine years ago, and I have a lot more to give them.
Sure.
And I had the exhilarating pleasure of meeting the gorilla man, Mike Cranfield, who is the head of the gorilla department at the zoo. And he came over to visit me, and I had the pleasure of meeting Diane Fossey in Africa, in my quest of visiting the mountain gorillas there.
Yes. Diane Fossey was the one that was murdered by insurgents, wasn't she?
She was hacked up by the people there with a machete. And
yikes.
Unfortunately, she tried to save the gorilla, and Mike knew Digit, which was her favorite gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a wonderful meeting with Mike. We talked about a lot of the African animals and my quest to kill the greater kudu. And I had a pipe with the skin of a greater kudu because that's the only place in Kruger National Park where I saw a herd of the greater kudu.
Right.
But he treats all the kudus, and he travels all over to various zoos, and he is such a delightful man. I was so happy because when you're in your 80s, pleasures like this are far and few between.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike and I got along.
Oh, my. Charles, please call back. Something just happened there, and we dropped him. Charles, I'm sorry I got you cut off right in the middle of your call. So give us a call back. I want to hear more about the gorillas. 410-922-6680. Goodness gracious. I didn't mean to do that, but apparently I did. Well, fascinating creatures, gorillas. You know, I don't know if you folks know this, but I don't think that gorillas were actually I mean, there were reports of gorillas, you know, for eons, but I don't think they were actually sighted or truly discovered until last century, quite frankly. And, you know, it gives me hope that that Bigfoot may still exist somewhere in the great Northwest or, you know, some of our forests in the South, or who knows. But as far as the shows that are looking to find Bigfoot, whatever. What do you think? We were talking about eels right before we took Charles' call, and then we switched over to gorillas. So let's the areas. Okay, very good. We ready to go, Pat? Charles, I'm sorry. How are you?
That's okay.
I didn't mean to do that. Yes, indeed.
And I'm so you're one of the most cheerful people in my life, and I've never met you.
But. Well, we're going to meet. We're going to make that happen here real soon. I'm going to get your number again. I am going to call you. Coming downtown, I'm going to call you, and we're going to have lunch or do something. What do you think?
Well, that sounds delightful, and I had hundreds of pictures that I showed Mike at the Baltimore Zoo.
Yes.
Of my experiences around the world, because I crossed the Gobi Desert on a he knew all my camels. I'm a camel man. I love to ride camels.
Right.
And he saw some of my pictures of the Gobi Desert, and I showed him how I crossed the Sahara on a dromedary. And
now, what's the difference between a camel and a dromedary for our listeners?
Dromedaries are the camels of Africa, and they are one humpers.
One humpers.
And the Bactrian is the camels of Mongolia, and they have two humps.
Ah, and you said...
Whenever you get a camel, there are certain requisites.
All right.
See that they don't have any fleas. I defleed my camels before I got on.
I'm glad you did.
And the dromedary, which is a two humper, you fit right in there. It is much more comfortable.
Now, the Bactrian is the one hump?
The Bactrian is the two humps.
Oh, okay. What's the dromedary?
One hump.
One hump. Okay. All right.
And, of course, I slept in the desert leaning up against the camel for comfort. And camels have such noises that come out of their intestinal tract all day and night. And they are not very nice to be with because they want to spit at you. They have a way of spitting at people. And they bite. They'll try to bite you all the time. So when you select a camel, you got to be very careful and have somebody that knows the camels.
How do you de-flee a camel?
I carry with me Decon. The flea powder and spray.
Really?
Because they are massive. They're all over them. I mean, and you get them when you get off of them.
Oh, gross.
They get all over you.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Well, you overlook those kind of...
I guess for the adventure, I guess you do. Sure.
Yeah.
Now, where do they pick up fleas in the desert?
Oh, they're all over the desert.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Do you know the worst place I ever saw mosquitoes, and I've been all over Africa? It was in Greenland. Greenland and up in the Arctic. Oh, my land. They cover your clothing like a fur rug, and they bite right through my clothing.
Sounds like Dorchester County.
Yeah. So your experience this way, and we have the Preakness today, and I think about all the horses I've ridden all over the world.
Yep.
At one time, I even paid $25 to ride King Hussein's white stallions.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. 25
that
bucks.
That was a thrill. I paid the... It's
25
like a
bucks.
Huh. Hmm. And one of the greatest horses I've ever ridden were the horses from the circus. They all train by command, and boy, what they can do. I showed him a lot of my pictures. Like, one of them is I took a horse up the Great Wall of China.
Right.
And he was rather impressed with a lot of the things that I had done. But now my travels are with people like you, and the thrill I get out of hearing your voice. And I haven't called you for a while, but
no,
I
but I'm glad
to
you
you
did
all the time. Oh, my Saturday! I just think about you to brighten my day.
Well, I appreciate that, Charles, and I'm certainly glad you're listening and. And I thoroughly enjoy, and I know our listeners enjoy hearing about your adventures around the world. It's just fascinating to me. So,
and you are one of the Baltimore's pleasures. You're a hallmark of Baltimore, and you are a gifted man.
Well, thank you, Charles. And we appreciate your call, and I have nowhere near the world experience that you do, and I'm going to ask you to hold the line. Pat is going to get your phone number, and I will be in contact this week for sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Charles. There we go. Don't you just like hearing from Charles all the time? I mean, he brings something to the table that just you can't imagine. Our listeners out there just are, we're just so blessed to have people like that in our audience. Many of you make my day, to be honest with you. So there we are. I guess I have to take a break here pretty soon. But, well, let's do that. Let me tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Now, there are a number of folks that have caught great fish, 23-inch largemouth bass by Darren Holland of Edgewood. Jeff Horseman of Middletown caught a 28-inch rainbow trout. Captain M.G. Humphrey of the U.S. Marine Corps caught a white marlin. He's from Cedar Point, North Carolina, 62 inches. That was last fall. John Melanson, a La Plata, 43 1/4-inch striped bass. Ginger Millsaps of Huntington, Maryland, with a 41-inch. And William Okonski of Monton, Pennsylvania, with a 41 1/2-inch striped bass. Jennifer Latimer of Mechanicsville, a 41-inch striped bass. Patrick O'Neill, Midlothian, Virginia, with a 40 1/4-inch. Tim Hagen, old Tim Hagen of Walkersville, Maryland, caught a 55-inch blue catfish on the 6th of May and got a citation for it. Andrew Bland of Bel Air caught a striped bass, 40 inches. And Al Henkin of Baltimore caught two bullheads. One was 18 1/2 and one was 20. And Brian Henkin caught one of 16 1/2 inches, all citation size. Katana Tolentino of Owings, Maryland, caught a 44-inch striped bass. All of them citations. All of them are entered in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and all of them could win one of many great prizes, including a great boat, motor, and trailer grand prize from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in fishing tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, maybe even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing, and you could be entered too. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. That website again is www.dnr.maryland.gov, and the question is, are you feeling lucky?
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Hey, if you enjoy gardening, I always recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. I stopped by to see Jimmy the other day, got some strawberries. I didn't even wait till I got home. I ate them in the truck while I was driving down the road. They were delicious. And I said, Jimmy, when's the sweetie corn coming? Couple of weeks, Alan. You let me know if you need some. Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers, annuals, by the pack or by the flat, perennials by the pot. They have the bedding plants, the planters, a large selection of hanging baskets, which are great. Colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias, vincas, you name it. All the beautiful flowers. They even carry the proven winner specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Lots of tomatoes, squash, watermelon, cantaloupe, peppers, 10 varieties of hot peppers, herbs, you name it, they've got it. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections or call 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church. Don't forget about Mom. Even Father's Day is coming up soon. Hey, 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schellinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. It will grow on you.
This is the Wall Street Journal report. Hanshin Blood Camp. As a home buyer, you would expect to submit recent pay stubs and bank account statements when applying for a mortgage loan. But a copy of your divorce decree? MarketWatch reporter Amy Hulk says that's what happened to one borrower who was asked to explain a $200 deposit into her bank account.
She basically said the money was from her ex-husband. And the lender said, okay, we want a copy of your divorce decree then. They'd been divorced for 17 years. So for a $200 check, that seemed like a little bit of an extreme request to her.
Lenders are raising more red flags than they used to.
They're worried that they're going to have to buy back loans from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac if proper underwriting standards aren't adhered to. And loans go bad after being securitized by one of them. And they're really trying to be careful.
For us consumers, this means heightened scrutiny, more paperwork before closing, and unexpected questions. To the average borrower, the questions can almost feel comical. Jim Blykamp with the Wall Street Journal report.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
how can I help you?
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
that's not in our policy, sir.
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
your business is extremely important to us.
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank, no nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
From Steve Berry, New York Times best-selling author and master of suspense, The Columbus Affair, an exciting new adventure that takes readers on a perilous quest from Florida to Vienna to Prague and finally to the mountains of Jamaica. All that stands in the way of a father saving his daughter is an ancient secret that will change the world. Think you know why America was discovered? Think again. The Columbus Affair, now in hardcover and ebook from Ballantine Books. Read an excerpt at steveberry.org.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto. See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Here we go. Let's talk to Gary and Severn, and then we'll talk to Marty from the DNR. Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. No, this is not Gary from DNR. It's Gary and Severn.
I said Gary and Severn, and then we'll talk to Marty from the DNR.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, glad I finally got a chance to call in and chat with you.
Well, I'm glad to. Thank you.
I was the guy that sent you in the email a couple of weeks ago about maybe starting the trout season a couple hours later on.
Yeah, I remember that. I mentioned that on the air, yeah.
Yeah, and matter of fact, with Marty from DNR next, he might be able to address that.
He might be, absolutely. You want to ask him?
Sure.
All right, hold on. Marty, are you there?
I am, Alan, and happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Here's Gary in Severn has a question for you.
Hello, Marty. How you doing?
I'm doing well today, Gary. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, I've been trout fishing in Maryland for 25 years, and I don't think I've ever missed an opening day. But I wonder why we have to start at 5:30 in the morning on opening day. Year after year, I used to fish at Severn Run, right where Burns Crossing Road crosses. It's at the bottom of a hill, which I guess is how a lot of streams are. But I can't tell you how many times I've watched people crossing the road in the dark, carrying. Maybe sometimes they got flashlights, sometimes they don't. They're wearing camo. Cars are coming through that don't have a clue that it's opening day of trout season, and brakes are screeching, and you know, there's been a lot of close calls. And I guess my thought is, I don't see the point of starting that early on opening day, because trout will eat anything. I mean, you know, as soon as you throw something in, they're going to take it. So rolling it back to an hour after daylight or something like that, on opening day only, I think would do a couple of things. It would address that safety issue, and it would also allow a little more travel, because I, for one, I live in Anne Arundel. I would love to go out to, you know, Sidling Creek or one of these places that are a bit more of an excursion, but timing things to get out there is not that big a deal, but you know, arriving in the dark and trying to find a spot on a creek you don't know, whatever. Whereas if you backed it up a couple hours on opening day, you could at least, you know, arrive somewhere and walk around and find a place where nobody else is, et cetera. So that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, so, Gary, you're basically suggesting it's a safety issue from your perspective. And by putting it off a little bit, everybody can get there, get settled without worrying about, you know, some sort of vehicular accident or something like that. You think it ought to happen at daylight or shortly thereafter?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the issue's come up before. And actually, Alan, I think it's kind of flowed both ways. Some people were wondering why we have a date, why we have a time, and couldn't you get out there earlier, couldn't you get out there later? I think we've heard it both ways, but
I remember as a kid sitting on the banks of the Juniata River waiting for midnight to click past for the opening of the smallmouth bass season. I mean, we'd be out there and fish all night,
right.
You know, and guys would catch a fish before the midnight bell, and you'd see them walking around with fish flopping around in their shirts and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, as far as the opening salvo of a time limit thing, I mean, it's very interesting to me that it even is out there. But Gary does raise a valid point as far as from a safety standpoint and his point of view. And as you said, it's been brought up before. I don't know if it's ever been formally proposed in an advisory commission meeting or anything like that. Marty, can you answer that?
Yeah, I haven't heard it. I mean, I've been working, you know this, I've been working with both of the commissions for probably since the early 90s.
Well, what would your suggestion be, Marty? Would you just have Gary send somebody in the department an email asking the question and see if it comes up? Or
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take it one step at a time. Gary, do you have something to write with? Rather than reveal your email or any other personal information, since everybody, as Alan knows my telephone numbers and emails, I'm gonna give it to you.
Okay.
Can you just shoot me a quick email, and then I'll talk to our inland fisheries chief, Don Cosden. He's probably going to have it right in his back pocket, but let's figure out the basis for why it exists now.
Okay.
And then if there's latitude, I mean, there's always an opportunity to approach the Sport Fisheries Advisory Commission and Jim Gracie, who is a member of he's a member of the Mid-Atlantic Trout Unlimited Council. Very involved in trout fisheries.
Former national president of Trout Unlimited, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We're very lucky to have him. He's, I'm sure he would like to offer his perspective
sure.
as well.
Yeah.
So my email address, Gary, do you have something to write with?
Yeah.
Is M as in Martin,
mm-hmm.
L as in Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
G-A-R-Y, at dnr.state. .md, as in the abbreviation for Maryland, .us.
Okay.
And I'll if you can send something off to me this weekend, I'll be back to you on Monday with it.
Great. Hey, I got another question, if I could.
Go ahead.
I know both of you guys probably knocked this out of the park, but I was interested in, I've got a small 14-foot John boat, car topper kind of thing, and I'm interested in trying to get some stripers or rockfish this year. Looking for smaller, more protected areas that I can get out in and try to do that. And I don't live too far from Harbor Hospital and was thinking of launching there and going in around the back of the harbor and up the Patapsco River under Hanover Street Bridge and Poteet Street and like that. It's real protected back up in there. And I was wondering if the rockfish get that far back up in that area in the springtime.
You may take a crack at it, Alan?
Yeah, Marty, go ahead.
Well,
since you know all the fish personally in the bay.
Well, my experience with that area has generally been in the fall and the winter when a lot of people fish that warm water effluent from the Resco plant, the incinerator there.
Yeah.
And I haven't fished it that much during spring and summer, but I've talked to a few of the guides that have worked down there, Skip Slomsky and Tom Hughes. There's several of them. And the Patapsco has a tendency at times to have some DO issues, but generally speaking, from what I hear from those guys, you can find stripers up in the river throughout most of the year. And Tom, I know I ran into him at Bass Pro Shops 2 days ago. He was headed down to the coast, but I know he runs probably half of his trips in the Baltimore Harbor area. He does a little sightseeing / white perch striped bass trips up there. And, there's a lot of small fish. I think I've been up there and I've seen, in years where we've had higher salinities, bluefish will even get up in there. So I think you definitely can find them. But it kind of depends on the environmental conditions. If we have a really dry year, maybe during the heat of the summer, the worst part of it, you may not find them all the way up in that harbor area, up by the aquarium and all, but they may be in other areas. But the area you're talking about over by Middle Branch Park, I think, is probably a great spot to go and take your car topper boat, as you indicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay, very good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right, see you later. Marty, hang in there with us. Gary, there he goes. Marty, you still with me?
I am.
Okay, great. Okay, why don't we have American eels in the citation program?
Well, I guess because nobody on the staff or a public suggested it. that's the start. But honestly, I think you kind of touched on an issue, Alan. It is true that we haven't discussed adding those, although we have a few other species over the last couple of years, as you know.
Yep.
But, you touched on the ASMFC, the discussions there, the status of the stocks.
Yep.
It's a very interesting animal, a catadromous spawner, which is the opposite of anadromous, the fish that come into freshwater areas to spawn.
Right.
This fish spawns in the Sargasso Sea.
Right.
The young come in and inhabit these estuarine rivers and tributaries.
The little elvers or the glass eels is what they're called.
Yeah, and they've got habitat issues as well.
Yep.
And many of which are tied to fish passage, all the dams and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not completely fluent. I believe Keith Whiteford is our species expert, or used to be.
Well, two of the major strongholds for the American eel are the Chesapeake Bay and in particularly the Hudson River. And doing a little tiny background check right here, it seems like the Hudson has noticed a very, very good uptick in the population this year.
Mm-hmm.
But another part of that is the commercial harvest of the glass eels. for whatever reason, and they're a very highly desired species that can bring big money.
Yeah, we've discussed that a little bit in our senior staff meetings, and interestingly enough, I won't reveal the exact location, although it's not super secret, but down in Maryland's coastal bays, there's an area where tremendous numbers of those glass eels congregate each spring, and apparently
right.
this past spring they did again, and we were hoping to get some video footage. I'm not sure whether our resident videographer, Jim Thompson, was able to do that or not, but supposedly it's quite a sight to behold if you do get lucky enough to spot it.
Right.
But, you know, any of the stuff could be discussed. My guess would be because the stock is not exactly in robust condition.
Right.
You know, it would be problematic for us to add that species to the challenge at this time.
But, I mean, a 36-inch American eel is a pretty dang good eel.
I would think so. I mean, over the years, I know you and I both caught them while we were fishing. I
yep.
grew up fishing on the Patapsco. We caught them there, and I don't ever recall getting one quite that large,
yep.
Anywhere near that.
Yeah,
I've caught them up, around 2 feet long, but that's a huge eel.
One of the biggest eels I ever caught was back in the day when I was just a kid. We were fishing at night on the Juniata where I grew up, and I hooked a fish and got hung up. And my dad said, well, since we're fishing at night, it's probably an eel, and it probably swam under a rock. Just let it go. And sure enough, the rod tip started bouncing again, and I'd gain a few more feet, and he'd go under another rock. And, this went on for, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. Finally got that fish in, and it was just an enormous eel. Probably in that 3 foot to 40 inch category. It was like a baseball bat handle. It was really a nice fish. And we just cut it off and put her back, So, they are infamous for twisting your line and getting all tangled up. And we'd fish with a weight on the bottom and a snelled hook, 18 inches off the bottom. You talk about a messed up, tangled up. Oh man! But
yeah, I don't know too many people that actually target them. I mean, usually it's
well, we were fishing for anything. Anything that bit, and in that particular section of river in Huntington County, you could have caught a carp or a smallmouth bass or a pickerel or a yellow perch or a walleye, anything. And we just catfish, and that's primarily was our target, was catfish fishing at night and wound up catching this big eel, so a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always neat just to catch some of those unusual fish.
Oh yeah,
regardless of whatever it is.
So tell me about the fishing challenge. 580 some entrants so far, huh?
Yeah, it's clicking along pretty good. I like the conditions that we have right now. It even though it was an epically dry spring, the stripers and a few other anadromous fish spawned early. Our striper citations are apt to be down because of that.
Right.
We won't know. They're still coming in pretty heavy.
But, yep.
Despite all that, it looks like the conditions out there for fishing, unless some, catastrophic storm comes along, are going to be really, really good. The salinities are perking up nicely. The croakers are flooding in the lower bay now. This speckled trout abundance that's over on the lower eastern shore and some of these islands over at Bloodsworth, the Honga and whatnot has been tremendous. And
kind of like the good old days.
Yeah. So I honestly thought when I first heard it, Alan, they were talking about gray trout, but it's been specks over there.
Yeah.
So that's been good. And, Ocean City, it's driving me crazy because I'm getting these emails from some guys down there surf fishing at Ocean City, and they're fishing the inlets, and they're having a great time down there. They're doing really well. And a couple of the staff, including Tom, were just up in Western Maryland. And
right.
All the rivers are fishing pretty well. So things are overall, they're really good. So if there's a time to get out and participate in our contest or just go fishing, I think, we're here. It's it. And it's happening. So I know what I'm doing is when we hang up, I'm getting in the car and heading up to Thurmont for the 73rd annual Brotherhood of the Jungle Cock Campfire Weekend.
I talked about that. You sure you're not going up there for the G8 Summit?
I might wind up getting pulled in. Who knows?
You may. I mean, that's going to be. I'd stay out of town if I were you. So
I don't know. Sebelius Road. Is there a way to get?
Helicopter maybe, but you might get shot down today. Good grief. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Hey, let me, this is a little off topic, but I wanted to bring it up to you. Atlantic sturgeon, recently been put on the endangered species list. Have you heard about what's going on in North Carolina and the Outer Banks with that particular species?
I have not, no.
A friend of mine, Dwayne, that owns W&W Tire and Auto Service, is an avid surf fisherman. He's actually in Assateague today. He was there last weekend, and the ferry boat has stopped running. The dredging has ceased because there is potential there that the channels could be harboring Atlantic sturgeon. So all activity has ceased. As far as being beneficial to humans in deference to the Atlantic sturgeon, who's probably only been here since time immemorial. Had you heard that?
I had not.
Now you have.
Yeah. And I do know that there have been discussions about sturgeon habitat and spawning areas, and just because of the status, no interference type of protocol that's kind of built into what happens in endangered species status. That's something Tom's really fluent at with when
right.
the ASMFC and all. But even though for the average person to hear that, they may be, wow, I can't believe that would happen. But it's like the bird that's tied in with the red knot, with the horseshoe crab.
Red knot. And
certain parts of the
sure.
The beaches being completely off limits.
Piping plovers or whatever they're called, and all those little shorebirds down there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's analogous to that. So, you can't have any kind of activity. There's no off-road vehicles in those areas during certain times.
Right.
But I didn't realize, I guess it is spring, and maybe
yep.
so they're moving into the sound and up into some of those tributaries.
Yep.
Of
now I'm going to throw something else at you.
Okay.
Went on a shad tagging adventure with Uncle Dale here a couple weeks ago.
Awesome. I was going to ask you. I haven't heard him recently.
Well, yeah, we didn't do very well that day, but the next day I know they put 40 fish in the boat, which was a pretty average day for the folks. But I'm trying to relate the shad recovery efforts to something I read a while back about I believe it was Oregon has asked permission to kill cormorants because of their effect on the salmon spawn.
Mm.
Been up to the Susquehanna recently?
See any
cormorants?
Oh, well.
There are
right.
thousands, Marty, mm-hmm. thousands of them, mm-hmm. and I can't imagine that they would be beneficial to any of the spawning shad up there in the upper reaches of our Susquehanna River. I can't imagine that they're aiding in the recovery of, mm-hmm. of our young fish.
Hmm. That is an interesting perspective.
Yeah, spend a couple hours up there and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. We had one flock go over that was 150 birds in it.
Yeah. I've got little knowledge about that. I could certainly inquire. Dave Brinker is our wildlife biologist. That's on. He's the point guy for cormorants. I don't know if you've ever interacted with
him. I have not.
I would love to be happy to hook the two of you guys up.
That'd be cool.
I was talking to Dave one time about cormorants, and apparently they took up... it's, I guess, a roosting area, for lack of a better term. I'm a fish guy. But right underneath one of the bay bridges in fairly prodigious numbers.
Yep.
Dave was tasked with going up there on the span. Somehow, I guess, they get crawl underneath there.
Yeah.
And somehow had to use all sorts of loud noises and everything else to get them off of there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I think the issue was more or less as they're coming in, potential impact with the motorists and all.
Right. Right. Well, they're actually only endangered in this country, in Canada, New Brunswick. They are in the game laws. I mean, you can take cormorants. I don't know why anybody would want one, but you can take them as part of your waterfowl bag limit.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Well, I will be happy to put you two together, and
That'd be cool.
Be interested to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, if they're eating spawning salmon, they're going to be eating spawning whatever up on the Susquehanna. I mean, if we could train them to eat, spawning flathead catfish, we'd be good. But I'm not sure they dive that deep.
I don't know, and I'm not sure. We need a big cormorant to nail one of those.
Yeah.
I tell you, I did, Alan, I guess it was last fall I was up there, and I did see a guy. I was up there for about an hour and a half and watching a couple of these guys. And I did see several of those fish being caught, and it is amazing the numbers are up there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. It would be good if they would target the flatheads.
Exactly. Yeah, they have come on very strong. Marty, I got to take a break, but I have a question from an emailer, and if you can hang with me till the end of the hour, that would be great. But here's your question to think about. This comes from Gary and Kathy. I've often wondered about whether a fish like a trout that swallowed a hook, like with power bait, survives if you simply cut the line and release it. That is, you don't try to pull it out. Wants to know if you can address that, and we'll do that after our break, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie, is proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. What's in your bed? Well, let me tell you what's in mine. There's a spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, and it is terrific. Linex of Glen Burnie, Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, now offers Linex protection that comes to you, too. They can come to your farm, your business, your home. They can spray your deck, your forklifts, your trucks, your underground tanks, your secondary containment with the Linex protective material for commercial use. But I like to talk about the bedliners. That's right. They are terrific. They reduce vibration and noise. They completely seal out rust. The Linex bedliner has a durable non-slip finish. They resist most chemicals. That is, the Linex bedliner resists most chemicals. They protect against impact. And they just clean up like new at your local car wash. They even have a system now that can match the color of your vehicle using your paint code with the color of your bedliner. And that color bedliner is enhanced with the additional protection of Kevlar. So why not? It's called the Linex Extra, by the way. Why not call Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A or Ritchie Highway. Or you can visit them online at baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call. Mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors and call them at 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you mention the radio show. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, now more than just bedliners. Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Hey, let's talk about fishing, and particularly the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, maybe even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. American eels and lizard fish do not. However, stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnrmaryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. The question is, are you feeling lucky? Hey, let's talk fishing. Let's talk about Tochterman's downtown Baltimore, 1919-1925. Eastern Avenue, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway in Fells Point. The biggest, most juicy, delicious, scrumptious, delectable, I can't say enough words about the bloodworms. The way they're hand-picked and hand-cared for, the way Miss D names each and every one. She tells them every day, you guys are going fishing today. They are happy and healthy and ready to go. They want to catch fish for you, and they do. Not only that, but Tochterman's has a complete giant selection of fishing tackle for any fishing situation. Chesapeake Bay, bottom fishing, freshwater, saltwater, offshore, even surf fishing. That's right. And the experts to back all that up. They have a complete fly tying section. They have a complete lure building room. They have a fly tying section that is a fly fishing section that is unbelievable. Why not stop by 1919 1925 Eastern Avenue or call them 410-327-6942, 410-327-6942. Hey, let's talk fishing. Fish bones, bait, and tackle in Pasadena. 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Hit Mountain Road. Head towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles on the right beside the Shell Station. You'll find Fish Bones, Bait, and Tackle. My buddy Bud has a great fishing report anytime you call. He's got crabbing supplies. He's got those Lifetime crab pots, stainless steel, baskets and lids included. They've got a bushel size. They've got a bushel and a half size. And they have a half bushel size, the last crab pot, crab steamer you'll ever have to buy. Fish Bones, Bait and Tackle, Mountain Road, 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store. Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back with Marty Gary from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources talking about the Maryland Fishing Challenge and a variety of things that that I brought up that he didn't want to talk about. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Al. It's your birthday. We'll talk about anything you
oh,
want.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much. The question is survivability of a freshwater trout if they swallow the hook.
Okay. I think I've got some reasonable advice for your listener. And I'm recalling discussions I've had with Rudy Lukakovic.
Rudy Lukakovic,
well.
Good man.
He
Hi, Rudy. Yep.
Yeah, and hope maybe Rudy's listening in today.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Yep.
Yeah.
Rudy's written the book on fish survivability as far as deep hook fish.
Yeah, I think the takeaway on this one, Alan, is once deep hooking has occurred.
Yeah.
If you mess around with it to take it out, it's a bad situation because if you mess around with the hook and try to extract it, you may exacerbate the trauma that's already occurred.
Right.
On the other hand, if you leave it in, I think your question is, will the hook rust out? Is that the best thing to do?
Right.
And, Rudy did a study a long time ago, I want to say with John Foster and some others. I'm not 100% sure, but I do recall the basics of it. And as you know, there's all different types of hooks. There's stainless steel.
Yep.
There's nickel-plated. There's all sorts of them. And stainless steel hooks don't rust out at all.
Right.
Others may decompose or whatever the proper term is at
right.
different rates, but likely the damage has already been done for a deeply hooked fish if it's pierced the esophagus and
right.
potentially hit an organ. So I know this is going to sound like maybe, hey, the issue is already at hand, what do we do? But the best remedy is prevention, which means try to avoid the deep hooking issue to begin with before you ever get to that point.
Right.
And I don't know about non-offset circle hooks with trout, but I can't imagine why. And I know for a fact Eagle Claw and some others do make very small non-offset circle hooks.
Yeah.
I don't know how they work with power bait and all, but I can't imagine
well,
they
Marty, work. Here's my deal. If you're fishing for freshwater trout, especially put-and-take trout, and you want to avoid that situation, use a small hook like a salmon egg hook or a number 10 or 12 or something like that, whatever fits your bait. Bend the barb down. And, you know, the salmon egg hook is usually typically a little lighter wire, a little rounder bend, a little easier to extract. You can, if you bend the barb down, that makes the hook extraction a lot easier, or even a barbless hook. And, you know, you can avoid that if that is a concern. But if I'm fishing for put and take trout, I'm killing them, I'm taking them home, I'm eating them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty simple. So,
yeah.
Hey, guess who just called in? That would be Rudy in Kent Island.
Man.
Hold on a minute. Hook us up, Pat. Hey, Rudy, how you doing, man?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Marty took your name in vain there a minute or so ago.
First of all, happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Marty's absolutely correct with what he was just saying. The deep hooking issue is once a fish does take a hook deeply, it's usually a foregone conclusion it's going to die. With stripers, the mortality was about 50% almost immediately.
Right.
And the long-term mortality of a fish, if a hook is left in a fish, is probably even higher.
Okay. Good. But what about my thoughts on, like, freshwater trout and things like that? I mean, if you use a lighter wire hook, maybe even a light wire Aberdeen or a salmon egg hook, bend the barb down, it makes extraction easier if you use a set of forceps or something like that.
That is true. If a fish is deeply hooked in the mouth, using a barbless hook is certainly a beneficial thing. But like Marty said, even a barbless hook taken deeply into the esophagus, the damage is done.
The damage is done. Yep, I got you. Very good, guys. Well, I'm sorry you waited so late to call in, Rudy, but I'm sorry that Marty waited so long to call the name of the expert. So, hey, guys, thanks for joining us today. The music is coming up. We have about 30 seconds or so left. I want to thank Marty Garrett for calling in, talking about the fishing challenge and all the challenges that I threw into into the mix there. And, Rudy, thanks for calling in and helping us with the deep hooking issue. Yep, look forward to seeing both you guys. And now it's time for me to say get out, stay safe.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's Award.